Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
TGIF. We love Fridays. Yes, we do. We love Fridays. How about you?
I do.
This is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. And we love Fridays because it's World War II Day, always with the AmeriChicks on Fridays. And we're with you every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m., so always tune in. But these shows are rich, and this one today you're going to absolutely love. And grab your kids, grab your grandkids, grab your friends right now and sit down. You can listen live on KDMT if you're in Colorado. If you're anywhere else, you can always listen on the internet as well at AmeriChicks.com. Mm-hmm. Just hit listen live. And then all these shows are going to be archived for the future, so you can share those with your friends as well.
Righto.
Now, World War II was hell, Kimmy.
I know.
Hell. And, you know, obviously people have seen Saving Private Ryan right now. The Dunkirk movie is out. Go out and check that out. I've heard it's great. But it's just powerful to think about what America and our allies went through in World War II to fight against tyranny, to protect the lives of people they had never met, they would never see again. People, some they never did meet in a land they've probably never been to or heard of. We risked everything. But once we figured out what we were fighting for, it looks like our soldiers started to say, okay, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's the story that John Dedling told his daughter. Now, we have Liz Moreno on the phone. She lives in Texas. She's a teacher. She's an author. She has many great books out. And she's a cousin of a good friend of mine, Camille Girard. So I want to give a shout out to
Very
Camille.
Cool.
Thanks for setting us up, Camille. And Liz Moreno, welcome to the AmeriChick Show.
Thank you. It's an exciting evening for me.
Well, thanks for joining us. You're just amazing. So you had posted an article on Facebook, and my friend Camille shared it with me. She knows we do this World War II project. She said, well, you've got to hear this story about Liz's dad. And so I'm so glad. And you were pumping up one of the really great things he did when he was over in the war. And he was actually in Patton's 3rd Army in the 6th Armored Division. He landed in Normandy D-Day, fought the Battle of the Bulge. He took prisoners of war. He liberated at least 3 camps. Let's just kind of start at the beginning. When you were born in 1950, correct?
Yes.
And the war ended in 1945. So the war was over, but you heard stories from your dad.
What? Heard plenty of stories, yes.
What? Tell us a little bit about kind of the stories that he told you and the effect they had on you, because I remember when we talked, you said, you know, you heard a bunch, but you didn't really get it. It didn't really, really click in until something happened in Houston, Texas.
Started teaching junior high.
Bless you. There is a special place in heaven for junior high teachers.
I got started teaching about the Holocaust by reading a book called The Devil's Arithmetic. And another teacher encouraged me to follow her pattern because I didn't know what to do with junior high kids. And so I just followed along. And the book they were reading was The Devil's Arithmetic. Well, this is a story where a girl from our time goes back to the days of the camps. And it's an easy read. It's a good read. It's something that's just perfect for junior high kids. But because of getting involved with that, we did a little investigating and found out about taking kids to the Holocaust Museum in Houston so that they could see what kind of artifacts there were. And we requested a speaker, a survivor, to be a speaker. The speaker we had was named Walter Case, and he was very, very eloquent. And telling the tear-jerking stories, and he had some awfully powerful stories to tell. But the thing that did it for me was at the end of his talk, when they were being liberated, he said all the prisoners were leaving the camp, and he and his dad were walking out. He was emaciated, could barely get by. And as they walked out, the American tanks were coming in. One of the soldiers got out of his tank, went and talked to him, and my dad could talk German, so I'm assuming that the person that talked to him was talking German also, and said, this is terrible what they're doing to you people, and I see now why we had to leave our homes and families in the United States. We had to come help you guys. And then that soldier reached in his pocket and had a Hershey's chocolate with almond bar. Well, the bells went off. My dad had told us that story, how he had gotten out of a tank, and he had said almost identical words to the guys coming out, and he had reached in his pocket and given him a chocolate bar. And it was like, oh, my. You know, Daddy's told that story all my life, and here I'm finding out the other side of the story. And it was the kind of thing that sent chills down my spine and tears out of my eyes, and it was emotional. So that was my epiphany.
We are talking with Liz Marino regarding her father, John Detling, and story of World War II. So, gosh.
And real quick, Walter Case, so he was a Dachau prisoner?
Yes. Okay. Yes, he was a Dachau prisoner,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was out with his dad. Now, eventually his dad passed away because he was just too weak to survive. But Walter went on to have a successful career, and he just passed away just a few years ago. But he was dynamic, and he was one of the speakers that you would love to listen to because he was so...
Yeah. Hang on, Liz Marino. Stick with us. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more on John Detling, World War II veteran, and Liz's father.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. It is Friday, World War II Project Day. We have on the line with us Liz Marino, who she is sharing stories of her father. And Liz, this is Kim here. And that is one powerful story that you're a teacher, a junior high teacher. You take the kids over to the Houston Holocaust Museum. And Walter Case tells a story. He had been in the concentration camp at Dachau, and he tells a story that you had heard as a child, and you realize that this was probably your father that had saved this guy's life. I mean, it's just breathtaking. It's breathtaking.
Now, whether it was really my dad or not, I don't know, because they said there were plenty of soldiers that had done that.
Okay.
But the very fact that his story matched dad's story was enough to seal the deal for me. Mm.
Well, it sealed it for us, too. We're going to play a quick track that we've taken from your dad's interview when he was asked what was his reaction when he walked into Dachau.
Okay,
at 10 o'clock ahead. In the morning, we was going to make a drive in there. And, well, the fighting, it held out about 45 minutes. It was all over. And at 1 o'clock, we went in. And when we got in there, those people just come and grabbed us, and wanted to take us to different places and show us, you know, that where man needs the help and this. And they were hungry.
Okay. Well, looks like we don't have the end of that right there, but the end of that, your dad, John Dettling, said it was at that point, once he saw how starved and how sick and how in pain the people in Dachau was, he said the war paid off. It was worth it. It was worth all of the loss, all of the struggle. He said it took them, you know, two convoys per week for a long time to get all those prisoners home. And, you know, your father, John Dettling, he, I'm sure, probably gave his candy bars. You know, your dad told another story. And just everybody out there, if you want to hear John Dettling's entire interview, you can do that. It's at the Houston Holocaust Museum, and you can order that from them. Get the whole thing. It's worth it. But he talked about a time when, their camp was set up next to several camps. He was actually, this Dachau obviously was a death camp, but there were also a couple other camps that he went in, and they were labor camps. And there were a lot of kids around the Germans that were just starving, of course. And they came over near the army camp, and the soldiers would go through the mess hall and go through the line and get food on their plates, and then purposefully go over and dump them out in the can because they saw the kids were coming up and digging through the garbage to get food. And so your father and the rest of the soldiers were doing what they could to give. And I just thought that was pretty cool, Liz.
It really was. That was one of the stories that, when I re-listened to his tale yesterday, it stood out to me more then than it did the first time. But, yeah, Dad was like that, and he was a giver. He was full of mischief for people who know him, and I think I've got a few cousins and relatives that are listening. Daddy was full of mischief. But in the years of us growing up, and even after we left home, if he ever ran a fever, got delirious, he went back to those days, and Mom would have to do her best trying to calm him down and let him know that wasn't really happening anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty rough stuff. I listened to all of the interviews and then went through some of the pictures that you had sent. And I actually, that night, after I went through that, Liz, I had dreams, and that was just looking at the pictures. So to think about what our young soldiers from the heartland, you know, all over the country, what they saw was beyond belief, I know. But as Molly mentioned, your father, in one of the, I heard him say that, you know, we kept wondering, you know, what was this? Was this worth it? And then when they liberated Dachau, he realized they had to stand against tyranny or it would have continued on. So what do you have next, Molly?
Yeah. So next, let's say, so your father was drafted into the Army in 1942, right?
Yes.
And he was in Texas at the time, went through basic training.
Yes, they started basic training at Fort Hood, and then he, I think, went to Camp Roberts in California. Somewhere along the line, he found time in July of 43 to come home and marry my mom, and she went with him up to Paris, Texas. And then he got shipped off, I think, to Georgia or Mississippi. And she told the story of how she was coming home in their Model T, and she had the pet squirrel that he'd had. Her and that pet squirrel driving home together. And by that time...
That does sound like a Mississippi thing, because all my family had pet squirrels too,
oh
Liz.
Gosh.
Anyway, go ahead.
He loved pet squirrels. He even had some when we were growing up. But anyway, Mama came home with his pet squirrel and a baby in the oven. And this was... probably, it was 43 when they got married, so it was probably 44. My sister was born in December of 44. Frances, hi. Frances was born while Daddy was in France. and in December of 44. So it wasn't that long before the liberation was done, but still, Daddy didn't get home till she was about 9 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he never even saw her till then, except for pictures.
Yeah. When you think about the sacrifice that our military men and women go through,
and
sometimes
families,
we forget
and
the families, what they go through. You know, you're having having a kid without your husband there. It's got to be tough.
Yeah.
And so so Liz Moreno, your dad John Detling, he ends up in New York and he gets on the Queen Mary, heads over to England. And do you want to tell the story about him on D-Day and where he was?
Now D-Day. When he was on the ship, watching, they were waiting and watching from the ship because the boats could. Am I telling the right story?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The boats couldn't. They couldn't get off. There wasn't a place for them to get off, and they had to stay on the boat until things settled down some. And then, mysteriously, I'm not going to say mysteriously because I know God was in charge. When it was time, the tide went out, and they could just go, get on out and go. And so they weren't part of the fighting that day, but they did get involved with many, many skirmishes after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the interesting thing about the video, Liz Moreno, I saw is that he said he was in Normandy on D-Day. They were in invasion tanks. They were on the boat. But they sat there an entire week. They were not unloaded, and they watched. They watched the entire fight from the water. They didn't unload them until after, and it's, I can't even imagine, you know, what he saw, what he witnessed out in that boat, and so then finally they do get up on the shore, and like you said, it's easy to get off the boat, and so he gets on, he makes his way onto the French countryside, and I want to share just his words, a story about some Germans he came upon.
Right. This is the story that Camille shared with her.
Right. Yep. And I'm going to play his words right now. Hang on. Play one.
Oh. Had them take their belongings out and lay them on the floor ground, and I looked through them, and one of them had a rosary on it. I picked that rosary up, and I made the sign of the cross with it, and I took his hand, I put it in his hand, I said, "Pray as well, take me over with." And he said, "You're not going to kill us?" I said, "No, you're going back, and after the war, you're going home. But we still got to fight." He said, "Some more back there want to give up." I said, "Send them out. They're not going to get killed. We're going to take, they're going back, they're going home after the war." So he hollered out there, 32 of them come out. And when the MPs got those, well, I told his boy, "Let's go back to see what they had." And we went back there, and they had about 7, 8, 10 machine guns lined up. And if we'd have killed those three, they'd have fought it out. And that road was full of infantry and everything. They'd have mowed down a bunch of them if we'd have killed those three. They'd have opened up, and before we could have got them, they'd have got a bunch of us. And this little boy said, "You know, I'm sure glad I'm with you." And then we moved on up till we got close to Brest. Then we got the hell kicked out of us over there. We run into a little trouble going there. That's when this here Jew got captured. And they got our gas truck and got all that. And so we went to, on further down, we was going to pull into an area. Well, I run out of gas, and the gas truck was gone, and a few more run out of gas, so we just stayed there on the road. We had about a quarter of a mile to go yet, and we stayed right there, and by 10 o'clock, they start shelling that place, and I mean, they shelled the whole thing out there from 10 o'clock on till 2 o'clock, they were shelling, and some of the boys just got up and run out, and some of them got killed. A lot of them got killed in there. And when I saw Patton's movie about Patton, I recognized that place where we got, and we stayed there a while. And I sat there at night. We was on this side of the river, and Brest was on the other side of the river. I sat there at night and watched those planes come over, bombers, just wave after wave, and dropping those bombs. Every one of them got crippled. I see one of them got crippled, and he come on down, and some of the boys got out, and they come over to our outfit, and we hauled them back. And I seen an American fighter and a bomber run together up there. That's just a fighter come out of the clouds and cut his wing off and cut the tail off of that bomber. That tail come down just like that. And those boys, some they bailed out. And they come over to us. That bomber, he opened those motors just all they had, trying to, stay up. And him behind the hills, I don't know whether he crashed or went down slowly. But after he got behind the hills, we couldn't see him no more.
Okay. So you're listening to John Detling, World War II veteran, in his interview with the Houston Holocaust Museum. And on the phone with us right now, we have Liz Moreno, and this is the AmeriChicks on KDMT. Just telling the story about your dad. Liz, so a listener had actually just reached out to us and said, we did not tell your father's what was his unit. Now, I have 3rd Army, 6th Armored Division in Patton's Army, but do you know the unit?
Let me see here. He was in the 603rd Tank Destroyer Division. Does that tell you?
I'm not sure.
603rd Tank Destroyer Division.
603rd. Yes, it does. All right. Okay. 603rd Tank Division. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, our producer, Don, is also an Army veteran, and so we appreciate him for saying, yes, that does. Thanks.
And that question came in from the Netherlands.
Yes, that question just came in from the Netherlands, Liz. Ralph Peters, thanks for that.
Okay.
So this is good.
Okay. So, Liz, let's go to break. And when we come back, I know Molly and you have talked about some additional amazing stories. So probably, what do you think, Molly, the one regarding the statue?
I think so. I think we'll talk about what he saw in France. There wasn't a lot standing, but there was something standing. And I think it's a pretty cool story. So stick with us. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, on with Liz Moreno in Texas. We'll be right back.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, July 28th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include The Emoji Movie, Valerian, and Spider-Man Homecoming. Admission is $8 per person and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Please be sure to visit the delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, Molly, I tell you what, I am really loving these stories with Liz Moreno and regarding her father. And one of the great things today was my computer was working perfectly because as I was trying to download these different interviews, I needed it to work perfectly so that it, I could listen to them. But if your computer is not working perfectly, you're in luck. Evan, your IT guy, .com is a network of IT professionals, and they will be ready to provide on-demand help with your computer needs. So go to evanyouritguy.com. They're going to be rolling out this next month. And if you scroll to the bottom, under the Discover tab, you'll see free webcam cover, which you and I both have.
Love it.
Click on that, fill out the contact form, and be sure to include your mailing address. Mention us, the AmeriChicks, and Evan will send you a free webcam cover your way. So they will be rolling this all out next month, but go ahead and sign up so that you can get all of the updates. And that is evanyouritguy.com.
Yep. All right. So we are on the phone with Liz Moreno, and she's a teacher. She's an author. She's written about Sancho the Silly Billy Goat. It's a really great story. I've got that. She's also written several articles. There's one in guidepost.org that's posted on AmeriChicks Facebook page right now. Check that one out. It's about her father and what a noble man he was and the noble things he did in the war that saved his life. And she also helped Helen Collin write her autobiography. And so Liz Moreno is going to come on with us again in a few weeks. We'll let you know online when. Helen was a Holocaust Dachau survivor. So it's very, very interesting. So Liz, before we went to break, we were saying we are going to tell everybody something about what your dad saw in France. Do you want to set this up for us and then we'll play his words?
Okay, let me make just a couple of corrections first.
Okay.
Helen Collin was in Bergen-Belsen.
Oh.
That was where she was liberated from, and she was liberated on the day of her 21st birthday, but that I'll save the rest of that for her,
okay,
her story. But when we met her, we found out that Dad had helped to liberate the camp that her husband had been in, and we were told that that was Buchenwald. And we're not saying a whole lot about Buchenwald, but Buchenwald was part of the stories that we'd heard from Dad and his war buddies. So anyway,
okay,
back to France.
Back to France. Yeah.
Daddy was just an old country boy. He didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the places, so he didn't really know the names of all the camps he was in. He was just doing what he was told. And when they got to France, there was a real young little girl that they became friends with. But after France had been bombed and the attacks had happened, Daddy and his soldier friends saw the only thing that was left standing was the statue of Jesus where the church was. And I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's go ahead and play number two.
Some places were pretty well demolished. Over there in France, one town was tore down flat. Everything going. But one statue of Jesus Christ was up there, like holding his hands up like that. And he had one little finger broke off, and that was all, and the rest was just wasn't hurt. And a lot of those boys went up there and said a prayer in front of that. We couldn't get over it. How everything could be tore down, and that statue not hurt. And in Germany, when we captured, we got into Germany, well, then we went right on then. We wasn't no... They held the Russians back until we got way in there, and then they brought the Russians. We were griping them about that. Russians waited till we had got land, and they come on in.
Your dad was a neat guy, and we've been actually laughing a lot listening to his story. Liz, I don't know if you have this on the top of your mind, but when a woman told him that her firewood was being stolen, do you remember what he did? Tell what he did.
Or what they did, yeah.
The woman said that she was losing firewood, and the soldier said, well, we can help find out who it is. So they took some of the wood, and they, I'm assuming they sprinkled it with gunpowder. So when the people stole their firewood and put it in their wood stove, bam.
The next day, the neighbor, your father said the neighbor's stove blew up. It made me laugh out loud. I had tears in my eyes. That was so funny. So
he had a way of mixing the funny stories with the serious ones.
Yeah, because this is, it's pretty, pretty serious stuff. So now, Molly, you go ahead.
Well, Liz, where do you want to go next? We're talking about her dad, John Detling.
One thing that I haven't said yet is when we were growing up, Dad had some really gross pictures of dead bodies, and he kept them stashed away in a closet that was closed. And I'm assuming my brothers and sisters did too, but I was really nosy, and I'd look at them every once in a while, and I never had the courage to say, hey, Dad, what's this about? And it was something like he wanted to keep locked in the closet. And then I put the pieces together after I'd started teaching this unit in school. And such a rich history I could have learned earlier had Daddy been willing to talk at that time. But, you know, in the 50s and 60s, it was still too fresh. 70s, it was still painful. Mm-hmm. But by the time the 80s and 90s rolled around, I think he and other survivors and liberators and all the people involved realized, hey, this story needs to be told because we don't want this happening again.
Well, and, you know, Liz, that's one of the reasons that Molly and I started this World War II project, is because I don't think that history is being taught in many of the schools. I don't think a lot of the kids understand the significance of D-Day, of World War II. And, you know, I've learned a lot over the last year, but listening to your father's interviews was, again, powerful, just really powerful.
They're starting a project here in Texas. It's the Texas State Holocaust Commission. And if I understand their purpose correctly, it's going to be a required subject in public high schools that they will need to teach about the liberators' roles in these. I've contributed a lot of Dad's information to a man named Pete Berkowitz from Houston and Frank Caseman out of Midland, Odessa. They're part of that project, and they're going to have an inaugural party for it on November the 9th in Austin. So my family's planning to be there for the celebration, and they're going to have it online so that people will be able to access this kind of information without having to go to a special location. They can just get it on the internet after the launch has taken place.
And just so everybody knows, that's a good point, is all of our radio broadcasts are on our website, typically within about 24 hours, and everything is archived there. Mm-hmm. And if people want, they can actually click on a show, they can hit share, they can copy the link, and you can pass that around to all your friends and family as well. So let's continue on, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Liz, tell us... you want to talk to us a little bit about the things that he told you? Obviously, you saw the pictures of the bodies. What else did he tell you, and how did they get those pictures from the concentration camps?
One of the soldiers he was with had a camera, and I think one of the officers didn't like that, so the man kept it on the quiet, but he took pictures. I'm not sure how he got them developed. He was going to, he gave Dad a bunch of them, and Dad was going to bring home more of those pictures with him. They were in his duffel bag, and the duffel bag got sidetracked from coming home with him. That duffel bag also had a letter that he had from General Omar Bradley, because Dad was a barber in the military, and he was cutting hair, and Bradley saw that he was making good money, and he says, "Son, you must be really raking it in doing this." And Dad says, "Well, I could be, but they're not letting me send it home, so it's not doing any good." And Bradley said, "Well, you let me take care of that." The next day he got a letter from Bradley that said he could send all that money home. So he sent, I guess about $5,000 home to Mom, and they saved it, and that's what they built their house with.
Wow.
So I think maybe I deviated from what you wanted.
No, that's fascinating, though. That's fascinating.
That was one of his stories. And he told about when they got, I think it was close to Christmas, and I don't know if it was Christmas night or not, but they all had to sleep on the ground. And he said the next morning they were popping up like gophers because it had snowed on them overnight, and the snow was all flat. And as they awoke, they had to pop up through the snow that had covered them. So that too, I guess their clothing was warm enough, and the snow after you're under it is probably warm enough, but they were sleeping in the snow out in the open probably more than once.
Yeah, probably more than once. We'd had a World War II vet on that said that he'd gone 11 days without going into a building. I think that was at Battle of the Bulge. So, Liz Marino, this is fascinating. This is Molly and Kim, the Americhicks. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, some more of Liz's stories regarding her father, John Detling.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, stick with us. We're on KDMT.
Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's Free Freedom Kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your Free Freedom Kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
Hey, this is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT 1690 AM, and it is World War II Friday. Every Friday, always tune in here. We're on the phone with Liz Moreno. She lives in Texas. She's a teacher. She's an author. And, of course, a mom. And she's a daughter of a really cool guy, John Detling. He fought in World War II. He was a part of Patton's 3rd Army, the 6th Armored Division, 603rd Tank Unit. He landed Normandy on D-Day. He fought at the Battle of the Bulge. He took prisoners of war. He liberated at least 3 camps. And just a really, really cool guy all around. And we're hearing his stories. And we're sharing Liz's words as well as his own. And, Liz, I want to share this. And if you go to the Houston Holocaust Museum, you can get an entire interview from John Detling when he was still with us. And one of the things that the interviewer asked is, you know, were you angry at the German civilians that were around the camps that did nothing? And his answer was no. And I'm going to play you his answer as to why. So let's play number 4.
And then they had a hanging rack where they hanged the people. And they had their tables there where they drink their beer and prisoners themselves had to hang the people, and they hung the people. Then they had a like a house, had rooms in it. One room they put them in, they're gonna give them a physical. Well, they take them, put them in that room. She has to strip off and go in another room, and they're gonna make sure how high he is. And on that wall, they put him up against the wall, and they had a 3 buttons on there, and they line him up, had a little hole in that wall. And when he's short, wherever his heart cover up one of those holes, well, he'd press that button, and they'd shoot a .22 right through that hole, right through his heart. And they take him and throw him on the stack in that room. They had that room from the floor clean down to the ceiling full of bodies that they killed right in there. And then they had a big tin barn, kind of rusted like, and they'd put them in there and say they're going to fumigate them. And they'd make them strip their clothes off and put them all in there, and then they locked it up and turned the gas on them. And then they'd take them out and lay half a layer of logs and a layer of bodies, layer of logs and layer of bodies, and set it to fire. That's the way they burned them up. And people that lived on the outside, they told us that at night you could hear them hollering for help. They were just screaming at night. And nothing that they could do. Because if you wasn't with Hitler's bunch, you better not say nothing. You better not let them know that you was against. Because one lady, her boy come home for furlough. And she went and killed the chicken. She went and took the axe, and he was there, and she chopped his head off, that chicken head off. And she said, that's what they ought to do to Hitler. Well, he reported her when he got back. And they come and picked her up and never did see her no more. You couldn't say nothing against Hitler. And if they hadn't have stopped him, he'd be still going. They would. They had young kids, they, like that boy. They took him from a little baby on and trained him. He didn't know his mama. And they did. They when you got some of those SS troops, you had some tough boys. You had to watch them. Because they you might have had them captured, but if the first chance they got, they'd get you. Mm. And then after the liberation, well, later on, we hauled them back to the place where they were supposed to be to go home. And we had convoys going. Two convoys a week for a long time.
Let's stop from there. Thank you. That's the point I wanted to say. You know, he said that the people in the neighborhood, they could hear the screaming. They could smell the skin burning. They knew what was going on, but they were so scared. They could not say anything because just like this woman, when her son, who was an SS soldier, came home on furlough, you know, for quick meal, she made him a meal, and she said that Hitler should be hung. and he turned in his own mother, and they killed her. And that's what they do when they take your kids when they're very young, and they brainwash them, and it's just so terrible. And so, like John Detling said, is, you know, we had to do what we did. We had to go in and we had to fight because they never would have stopped. And that's the same thing, Kim, we hear from all of our buddies that were over in the Pacific Theater fighting against the Japanese. Right. They had to put the atomic bomb down twice because they would not have given up. So, Liz Moreno, one thing I wanted to share about your father, about his kindness to the prisoners that he took care of. Do you have any stories about the prisoners that he took in that you want to share before I share the story?
No, I'm going to let you tell it because I've got bunches of snippets here and there, and okay. I want to hear what you had to say. And before I turn it back to you, my brother Joe and my sister Frances are both listening. Hey, y'all. My brother tried to call, and he didn't get in. So anyway, they may have some information that could add to what you're asking.
Okay. Well, hey, Joe, give it a try again, please. And hi, Joe and Frances.
303-632-4160.
Yep. And I'm going to play this really quick. Now, you know, John Detling, he watched over, I think he said something like 1,000 prisoners of war during his time in World War II. And you know, you could treat them bad, but he did not. Hear his story about what he did.
I was in charge of about 1,000 of them.
1,000
prisoners, German prisoners. And I searched them, and every one of them, I tried to give them a nice word, you know. And German civilians brought some bread over there to give to the soldiers. And I took that bread and give it to a high-ranking officer in the bunch. I give it to him to pass it out. Well, he took it, and one little boy, poor boy, he was hungry, boy. He was grabbed first. And that officer made him stand at attention, chewed him out, and he took that bread and threw it to him. I walked over there, took that bread from that boy, gave it back to him. I said, he ain't no dog. He's just like you are. Give it to him nice. He didn't like it, but I hear grinning all through the crowd. And he took that bread and gave it to him nice then.
Yeah. Liz, your father, John Detling, was a very, very kind man. And it takes a lot, I would bet, after all of the pain and the suffering that he saw and he witnessed. And I'm sure he saw his friends, blown away right in front of him, and to have Germans in his care and to have been so kind to them just says so much as to your father and his values and his morals and what kind of man he was.
Oh, I'm going to tell you a story that's not related to the war, but it's just Daddy's personality.
Okay.
Daddy loved to raise a garden, and he had beautiful, beautiful tomatoes and other plants. Well, he also raised chickens, but in order to raise chickens, you had to buy feed. The tomatoes, once you've got them planted, there's no problem. He would give away tomatoes left and right, and they were free, and that was wonderful. If he was going to give somebody eggs, they had to pay for their eggs because the chickens got to pay for the feed they eat.
Everybody's got skin in the game.
Value for value. We like that. So, right. Hey, Liz, our time today is, we're going to have you on here again in a couple or a few weeks. Final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audiences? And I don't know if your brother called back or not. It doesn't look like Don has a call. So okay. We'll probably try to catch that next time. So final thoughts, Liz Moreno, regarding your father, John Detling, World War II vet.
Well, Dad left us quite a legacy. And as his child, I'm the child of a liberator. I've gotten involved in a group called the Crossover Project and the March of Remembrance, and I think I sent you some information on that. It's an effort to bring reconciliation to the survivors, not only the Holocaust survivors, but any Nazis that may be left, liberators, their families, their children, the descendants, and to bring reconciliation and peace to them. And there's a March of Remembrance that goes worldwide, and its purpose is to bring reconciliation because, you know, those wounds went deep, and the people need something to bring healing to their lives. And so if you're in an area where you can get involved in a March of Remembrance or the Crossover Project, find out about it. You can find out about it online. But I'm just honored with the way that God has allowed me to have a part in something that dynamic. And then to tell Dad stories like he's allowing me to do, it's just humbling to know that I've been chosen for such a time as this.
Well, it's an important time, Liz Marino. When did your father pass on?
In 2008, February 23rd of 2008.
Okay, and how old was he when he passed on?
He had passed at the age of 91.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, and how many brothers and sisters do you have?
There were six of us all together, three girls, three boys. It was alternating girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. Mama managed to have a baby every day of the week except Sunday.
The day of rest.
And youngest sister passed away in 2004. That she'd had ovarian cancer and she'd passed, but there's five of us left.
Well, I had said to Molly, a couple of or three of my uncles had served in the Pacific Theater, and as children, we would get together in the park on Sunday afternoons for, you know, watermelon and swimming and all kinds of things. And I was talking to my cousin. We as children had no idea that we were among heroes. And it's kind of the same with you guys, probably, too.
True. No, we didn't realize because Daddy was just Daddy, and we took him for face value, but we didn't know that it went so much deeper than it did.
Yeah, well, so Liz Marino, thank you so much. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and I want to close with a General Patton quote because you said that your father had seen General Patton several times. And Patton said, "Many who should know better think that wars can be decided by soulless machines, rather than by the blood and anguish of brave men." John Detling, thank you so much for all that you have done for freedom for generations to come.
Yes. And Liz Moreno, thank you for all you're doing in teaching our future generations the truth about World War II, the truth about American history and how great America really is and the great sacrifices that we make for everybody around the world. When America's free, everybody can be free, and we got to keep it that way. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim signing off. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.